You're listening to Inner Demons, the comic book podcast based on Marvel's very own spirit of vengeance, Ghost Rider. From Johnny Blaze and Danny Ketch to Robbie Reyes, Alejandra, and more, this is the best place for news, reviews, and discussion. And now, here is your host on this fiery road to hell, Brian Biggie. Let's ride.
Welcome, Flameheads, to the newest episode of Inner Demons, the Ghost Rider podcast. I am your vengeance-fueled yet lovable host, Brian Biggie, and this is episode 49 of the show. Tonight, we'll be talking about a couple new issues, as well as one flashback issue. We'll be chatting about Spirits of Ghost Rider, Mother of Demons, the Lilith one-shot, as well as we're doing Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider number 1 and 2. We're also doing Ghost Rider 2099 number 1, which is from the recent series with Ed Brisson. And last but not least, a classic flashback review of Ghost Rider number 15, starring the Orb. So, let's get to it. All right, guys, let's delve into some of the news recently with Ghost Rider. Most recent, we have Marvel's X number 1 came out. That's the Alex Ross, Jim Krueger prequel series to Earth X, which is about a dystopian future. Where people develop the X gene, and this story here is about a young man who does not have any powers. And the reason why we're talking about it in this show is because he encounters a semi-truck driver by the name of Johnny Blaze. So very interesting, the fact that he's here in this role. He's kind of the exposition of the story, and he's very humble. He's a little different than usual. He's very humble. He's very down-to-earth, very relatable character for a lot of the readers. And you know, seeing him drive the semi-truck is pretty interesting. And then, of course, he flames on, and it looks amazing. So definitely check that out if you're a fan of the Earth X series. Also, there is, in a few months' time from this recording, we have Ed Brisson and Aaron Cooter are doing the Empire tie-in with Ghost Rider, believe it or not. So that's going to be a $5 issue, comes out at the end of May, and it's concerning the Empire series, which is, the synopsis is the following. An intergalactic war comes crashing into a supernatural showdown between the spirit of corruption and the spirit of pollution. But who will be left standing? So the spirit of pollution, for those who don't know, is, from what I gather, is going to be Kowalski, who was the police officer that we saw in Jason Aaron's series that became Vengeance, later becoming the Spirit of Pollution. Kind of has a green flame and stuff. So we'll see how that plays out. Now let's talk about the MCU, okay? So we haven't talked in a while about Ghost Rider in the movies, but there is some talk about him potentially coming up in the MCU, and there's two methods of that potentially happening. One of them is Ghost Rider could appear in Sam Raimi's Doctor Strange sequel called The Multiverse of Madness. He could show up in any capacity with the multiverses and those kind of things. So we'll see if that plays out. The other potential is very intriguing. Tim Vo of Lord of the Long Box, relying on a scoop from Marvel and DC insider Mikey Sutton, suggests that a well-known female version of Ghost Rider, a.k.a. Alejandra, may be coming to the MCU via the Blade film. So I wonder which way they're going to go with that, if they're going to do more the Johnny Blaze, Danny Ketch route. Will they do Robbie Reyes, or are they going to do something totally new and different with Alejandra? I know Alejandra has a lot of fans out there, but some people do not like her character. I mean, the series really didn't really take off well. It lasted about 9 issues, so but it is definitely different than what we've seen before. I'm still hoping for a Danny Ketch introduction to the MCU, but if you guys have an opinion on that, send that in to our Twitter page at InnerDemonsGR. What way you guys think is the best way to premiere the Ghost Rider in the MCU, because there's a lot of different paths they could take with Kevin Feige and the rest of the production team. So last but not least, let's talk a little bit some of the recent cameos that the Ghost Rider regulars have appeared in. Mephisto, of course, you know, in the main Ghost Rider series, he's been busted out of the Hotel Inferno, but he has been showing up in Avengers and Conan Serpent Crown number 2, plotting his return. So I'm led to believe that those are taking place prior to his escape from the Hotel Inferno. He was in Avengers 31, and it seems like there's some storylines that Aaron is playing with Mephisto being tied to Tony Stark's father. I don't really know all about that. I have not read the issue yet, but definitely sounds a little strange. But we'll check that out if you are interested. We also have in Avengers 31 the original Ghost Rider, which was like the Mammoth Rider, who is known as Ghost. He appeared in that as well. For any Robbie Reyes fans, Robbie appeared in some of his Avengers capacities in Ant-Man number 3, as well as Thor number 6, volume 6, number 1, excuse me. That's the Donny Cates new series about Thor. And also, we have Goose Rider, of all things, appeared in Spider-Ham number 3. I love Goose Rider, so check that out if you like Goose Rider. And last but not least, our buddy The Orb appeared in Doctor Doom number 6, getting attacked by Kang the Conqueror. So check that out if you like, and that is what we know so far about some of the recent Ghost Rider news and developments. We had a poll recently asking the fans a quick question about what they thought about the Ghost Rider's powers and abilities, and who was the one to bestow those powers and abilities upon the Ghost Rider. There's been some theories over the years and different origin stories that have changed. So I wanted to put it out to the listeners, and this is what you guys came up with. We had four potential options, and the question, like I said, was who truly gave Ghost Rider his powers and why? So with fourth place, kind of a joke answer, but I put it in there anyway, and people still voted for it. With 11% of the vote, we had the Orb. So, which just goes to show you that if I can put the Orb in any survey, I will, and people will vote for the Orb. And I don't blame them at all. I probably would have done the same thing. With third place, God, with 18% of the vote, being the one who bestowed the powers on Ghost Rider. With second place, Satan and Lucifer, with 26% of the vote, with being who the one who gave Ghost Rider his powers. And last but not least, 45% of the vote, listeners said Mephisto gave him his powers. So thank you guys for sending in those answers. We had some folks send some comments as well, so I'll read some of those on the air here. Tim Chismar says, I subscribe to the long-forgotten Medallion of Power theory. Remember that? Geez, I was insulted how that was ignored. Werner Herzog Schu says, Satan was the cause of his power because making Ghost Rider secretly an angel the entire time was dumb. And what he didn't like about the angel revelation is that a superhero that comes from hell is different. It's unexpected. It requires a nuanced view of what makes someone a hero. A hero from heaven is just, well, what you kind of expect to happen. Francois Garamadong says, Mephisto pretending to be Lucifer because of his past history with Zarathos makes the most sense. Rokhal 3 says, Mephisto, because he thought trapping Zarathos in a Carney's subconscious would be hilarious. In general, though, I like to think that the angry ghosts of all the innocent people ever killed lend their powers to a cosmic GoFundMe of spite that fuels the spirits of vengeance. Avery says, Mephisto, because that's way cooler than anything they've come up with recently. And last but not least, our good friend Connor from the Last Sons of Krypton podcast says, obviously, the Orb. And who can blame him for that? All right, guys, thanks so much for sending in all those answers. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, just send in your comments or questions to #postwritersgr. And I usually check that before recording. So that's just one of the best ways to get in touch with us and for us to read your feedback on the episode itself. So thank you guys for that. We're going to take a short break now. We're going to play an ad from The Collective, our podcast network that we're very, very proud to be a part of. And we will be right back very, very shortly. So stay tuned.
I am Connor from the House of El.
And I am Ray from the House of Zod.
We are two of the many, many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catchers.
So just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week.
Up, and away!
Welcome back, listeners. So we will be hitting up the reviews now, and the first one on tap is the Lilith one-shot called Spirits of Ghost Rider, Mother of Demons. First off, it is written by Ed Brisson and with art duties by Roland Bosky, Ghost Rider legend, and Dan Brown as well. This is a story told from three point of views: Lilith, Johnny Blaze, and Danny Ketch. The tale opens as Lilith is shown to be the first woman in the Garden of Eden before Eve was created. But because of her nature as a goddess and a demon, her and Adam's offspring were demons as well, and she was banished from the Garden of Eden. She decided to team with Mephisto, and she plotted revenge and tricked Adam into eating the forbidden fruit, thus orchestrating the fall of man in the Bible. She tells of Mephisto's eventual boredom of hell and fascination with humans like Johnny Blaze and other superheroes. Once Blaze is the king of hell, she plots to take over the throne, but he rebukes her, which forces her to strike a deal with Lord Belasco of the Limbo Realm to take over all. She encounters Jack-O-Lantern later and sends him to Earth with a secret mission. Later, she gives birth to her own new body and then dies. We then cut to Blaze, who wonders if he'll ever be saved from the throne of hell while fighting an endless hordes of demons and showing who's the real king of hell. We then cut to Danny Ketch as he returns from Limbo and yells at Sister Sarah, the caretaker, who sent Danny there well aware of all the dangers. He storms off to get a drink. While there, Jack-O-Lantern, fresh from hell, picks a fight with Danny and tosses a pumpkin bomb into the liquor store that he was in, thus exploding it. Danny stands up and transforms into the new Spirit of Corruption. Jack-O-Lantern pleads for his life and reveals Lilith sent him. Danny stabs him with his sword and sets off reluctantly to help out his brother. And that is where the issue ends. So this one really took me by surprise. How much I really enjoy this one. I'm going to be giving it a 4 flaming skulls out of 5 because I just thought it was that well done. Lilith is a character that I really enjoyed in the 90s series, and we haven't really seen too much of her since then. So it was really nice to get back to learn about what she's been up to since then, and also her origin, which we really didn't know too much about. It further builds on Lilith's her origin, as I said, and her hatred for humanity, why she hates humans so much. There's a lot of really fascinating folklore about Lilith with ancient texts and things like that, where they kind of talk about who she was, who she could have been. So I definitely recommend, if you like the character Lilith, definitely pop it into the Google machine. Check out some of the historical stories and the folklore about who this character was. Really, really fascinating stuff. Let's talk about the art. Roland Bosky had previously worked with Jason Aaron on his run, and while there's some fans who don't like his work, I do appreciate the level of detail that he brought to this. It was really phenomenal. For example, when rereading it, I noticed you see Lilith's eyes in the Garden of Eden, and they're the same as the goat's eyes, the exact same style as the goat later on where she was embodying the animal. That was really a great moment. Also, the Blaze flashback origin was great. The expressions on the faces, even Jack-O-Lantern's expression, which you wouldn't think he would have, but he was just so expressive with that big face of his. His fear, his terror when he sees the new Spirit of Corruption from Danny Ketch totally took him by surprise. And to be honest, a couple episodes back on Inner Demons, I said how great it was that Jack-O-Lantern was being used, and I wish that they had used him more. And honestly, I really love seeing him, even in this capacity, back in the mix, just in general. I thought that was really great. There are a couple little subtle jokes that Bosky put in there. For example, once Jack-O-Lantern is standing at the door of the liquor store where Danny Ketch is, there's a small sign above him that says, spiced pumpkin, ale or whatever. I thought that was a cool little little Easter egg that I noticed on a second read. It is heavily stylized. It's, you know, it's not for everybody, as stated before, but I really appreciate it. I love Lilith's method of whispering plans into people's ears to get her way. And you see that throughout the story, her little machinations of plotting and planning and conniving and scheming just to kind of, ever since the dawn of man, her way of getting what she wants, which is really phenomenal. Like I said earlier, it's nice to see Jack Lantern get used again. And there are some pretty deep cuts in this story that Ed Brisson puts in there, which I was really impressed with. The fact that we saw villains like Deacon, Anton Hellgate, and even, I had to ask Ed Brisson about this. There was a woman on one of the pages fighting Johnny Blaze as King of the Hell, and I didn't know who it was, and he said it was a character named Ripper from the 90s series. She's a slightly lesser-known character, but I have a feeling that some of these characters are being brought in on purpose. They're all down there. Some of Ghost Rider's biggest rogues galleries are fair game. They're there for the picking. And I think that's a really cool element of this particular storyline with the current Ghost Rider series involving Heaven and Limbo and Earth and all the other realms. I think that's such a great moment to bring in some of the other fan favorite villains from over the years, because there's so many that I'd love to see. So it's it'd be really phenomenal. Great. I do love Blaze's internal monologue here, where he talks about Doctor Strange and Wong and how he feels really kind of left behind, that he did his part in the mission, he sacrificed, and with the intent that he was going to be rescued at a later time, and that day never came. And what I really, really enjoy is that that's going to be paid off in several issues from now, when we're going to see Doctor Strange get involved and have to fight Ghost Rider. I think that's going to be a great moment. Whenever those two tussle, I'm always down for it because of their different backgrounds. You know, when they team up is great too, like with the Midnight Suns and other things, but when they fight is even better. So there's a believable dark side growing with Johnny Blaze here. It's that he didn't just go to hell and sit on the throne and instantly is a heel. He's a villain. He's becoming a little more aggressive, a little more angry. He's fighting nonstop, and he's becoming this dark side of himself. So I thought that was really fascinating to see Ed Brisson building this character moment from Johnny Blaze, that he's not a straight-up bad guy, but he's getting there. And I think that's a really, really interesting take. He's not just a one-note villain, so to speak. And seeing Danny Ketch finally powered up is really cool again. And the Spirit of Corruption is pretty mysterious at this point, and I know a lot of fans really want him to just be the Ghost Rider again. Danny Ketch just be a traditional Ghost Rider, or even bringing back elements of Noble Kale from the 1990s, where he was a different personality as Ghost Rider, not just Danny Ketch to 11. I really want to see that at some point too, and we may get that, guys. You know, we're getting close to issue number 250, if you really think about it. And that is that's going to be coming up soon. And so we may be seeing something building where, you know, he becomes the Ghost Rider once again. So, you know, don't fret. Don't despair if you're worried that he's not ever going to become Ghost Rider again. There's a reason why Danny Ketch is in this series. And, you know, I think there's some good things to come from Ed Brisson. So I trust Ed's ideas that going into this right now. And honestly, the last thing I'll say that I liked about it is that I really like the setup in general for the upcoming year of Ghost Rider, and seeing Lilith and Belasco's plan perfectly to control all hells, I think that makes perfect sense. Seeing those two, you know, work together, and I think that could be a real big problem for our heroes in coming issues. Now, it's not a perfect issue by far. It's not really a Lilith comic, you know, and some fans going into it, seeing her on the cover and seeing how she becomes from one form to another, they're really expecting a much more full story. And in a way, this is kind of like Ghost Rider issue 4.5. And even though I really enjoyed it and I'm glad I picked it up, I don't see every Ghost Rider fan grabbing this issue, whether they realize it's out there or whether it's not available at their store or digitally. So it's just one of those things where this issue could get forgot about, and it's pretty damn important because this picks up right where the last issue leaves off. So with him in hell, in limbo, Danny Ketch and Sister Sarah, you know, getting him back afterwards, it falls right in the middle. So in a way, I feel like a lot of fans are going to miss out on this one, and it's a shame because this is a pretty good issue. Now, if you didn't grow up with the 90s and you didn't realize what Lilith was all about, you may not appreciate it as much, but I just think that at the end of the day, it's just really showing that she's going to be a force to be reckoned with. So that's something to keep in mind, even if you don't have a lot of experience with Lilith. I am unclear on a couple little things. You know, I don't fully understand her final pregnancy, if she, before she died and came back as her new form, if she could do that herself, you know, or if she actually had a relationship with Lord Belasco or something. I mean, I'm not really clear on that per se, or if she just, before she dies and her form dissolves, she's just able to give birth to her new being. Now, it's not the end of the world, but that's, you know, I was a little bit unclear on that. But I was wondering, because of her association with Belasco as king and queen, so to speak, of the new hell, I'm wondering if that's the direction they could go, but not fully sure. You know, like, didn't know if she needs to, a father to the new Lilith. But anyway, so the last thing I'll say is I'm not fully sold on the Lilith redesign yet. I understand that this kind of told the story about how she became from one to the other, but I kind of don't see why they needed to do that in the first place. I thought it was a great design to begin with. She was spooky, she was terrifying, and she was very otherworldly. And maybe it'll be explained fully later on why she's that way, her, and she's got like a little biker gang in hell, but it's, the intimidation factor is just not there for this new version of the character. You know, I just don't see it. I don't know why they did it. It almost seems like kind of a joke, but I'm in for the long haul. I'm interested to see where it goes from here. And so like I said, overall, I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 flaming skulls for Spirits of Ghost Rider, Mother of Demons, the Lilith one-shot. So I'd say pick it up, guys. All right, gang. Next up is issues 1 and 2 of the new Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider series by Dennis Hallam, Scott Hepburn, and Antonio Fabella, with a backup story by Donnie Cates. Frank Castle is being brought into a Shire Supermax prison for going on a spacefaring killing spree of the Skrulls, Shire soldiers, and other scumbags. Frank tells the reader that getting caught and sent was part of his plan to infiltrate this prison. Once inside the cell, he is attacked by an angry alien who breaks his bones. Bloodied and broken, but unfazed, Frank stands himself up and starts destroying everyone in this prison as the Cosmic Ghost Rider. He is met by a huge purple being who seems to suck out the hellfire from Cosmic Ghost Rider's body while the ship self-destructs completely. Months pass, and Frank's skull is found floating among the wreckage, but by evil space pirates. Amongst the pirates is a familiar face to some readers, a young woman named Cammy Benali. She clearly doesn't fit in with the rest of the crew due to her purity. But after a short while, Frank's skull begins to seek vengeance and uses the crew's souls to reconstitute his form. Cammy is unaware of her crew getting obliterated by the Cosmic Ghost Rider, who's getting his powers back slowly but surely. The sole survivor of her crew now, Cammy fights back, but Cosmic Ghost Rider tears the ship asunder, but he looks into the past and realizes that she is an innocent and deserves no punishment. Light years away, the vile Cosmic King watches on in fascination. He teleports to Hotel Inferno and demands Frank Castle's soul from Mephisto. And that is where the issue ends. Now we'll go into issue number 2. The Cosmic King wants Frank's soul, but Mephisto says it's complicated. He doesn't technically have his soul in this timeline yet. Cosmic King leaves for his ship, which has been tracking Cosmic Ghost Rider and Cammy. He's been on a mission punishing evil across the galaxy with Cammy's strategic help, though he won't let her participate in the mayhem and stain her pure soul. From the spice fields of Kanda to the deep underwater trench of the Natal Lax to the Geminite sector, Cosmic Ghost Rider is kicking ass everywhere, and Cosmic King catches up to him and transforms into a huge beast. During the fight, however, Cammy gets sucked into a wormhole with Frank Castle watches on in horror. And that is where issue 2 ends. So let's talk briefly about what I liked and what I disliked about it. Overall, both issues are going to get the same score from me. I'm going to say they will get 3.5 flaming skulls out of 5. They're good, but they're not great. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Dennis Hallam as a writer, so I'm really kind of interested to see where this goes, but let's chat about it briefly. It's a decent start to the story. The fight in jail was brutal, and his first flame on is absolutely stellar, the way it's illustrated. Pretty amusing of his exposition while killing space criminals. He's so nonchalant while he's just ripping people's hearts out and breaking people's heads. He's just, you know, kind of telling his story, his origin, to the new reader kind of thing. So I thought that was pretty humorous. The art, like I said, stylized by Hepburn and Fabella, but there's some great moments here. You know, it's a cosmic story, so it's not grounded in the reality. There's a lot of really insane things that happen. If you go along with it, I think, you know, most people have a good time. But it is heavily stylized, as I said before. The backup story to issue 1 is written by Cates and illustrated by Jeff Shaw, the creators of Cosmic Ghost Rider. And it involves the two Frank Castles. Frank Castle, who was in the present day, encounters Cosmic Ghost Rider visiting Maria's grave, the castle grave. And how they fight and hate each other. It's a stellar moment of between the two characters and showing that they are the same person, but just separated by a universe of differences. So that's a really compelling storyline. It's frankly, no pun intended, it's what I hoped the last Cosmic Ghost Rider miniseries would have been like. I wanted to see more of that, more of the pathos, more of the frustration and the sadness and the tragedy of being a much older Frank Castle with the extended life and having to deal all that damage across the galaxy. It's much more what I want to see instead of the slapstick comedy, what we got with the last one. So Cosmic Ghost Rider destroys Marvel history. So it's unfortunate, but that's what I wanted to see. And that's why I enjoyed this short backup story so much. I will say this, there are some things I didn't like about these two issues. I feel Cosmic King is an underdeveloped character. I want to see more about his backstory, and maybe that'll be teased in later issues, but this is only a 5-issue series from what I gather, so there's not going to be a ton of time to get to know who this being is, who almost seems like he rivals other major cosmic villains in the Marvel Universe. I wanted to, you know, he seems like he's really going to be a threat to Cosmic Ghost Rider, but we just don't see it yet, so he's woefully underdeveloped at this point, and that's a shame, because a hero is only as good as their villain, so I really want to see more of that. I'm trying to figure out why does Frank Castle want to get caught? Is just to kill more on the inside? You know, getting blown up and left for dead didn't seem like part of his plan. That seemed a little unclear, and that part of the story was a little confusing to me as a reader. Maybe it's just me, but it doesn't seem like that's a well thought out plan. But then again, we are dealing with kind of an insane Frank Castle at this point, so you never know. I didn't have an idea of who Cammy was going into this because I never read Avengers Arena, which is also by Dennis Hallam. Also, he was going by Dennis Hopeless at the time. So is it safe to assume that she's done bad things with her time with the Space Pirates? That's what I was trying to figure out, where it's a little bit of a leap to realize that she's completely pure and she didn't do anything bad when she seemed like she was so gung-ho about it. It didn't appear that she had just joined the Space Pirates, that she had been involved with them for a while. So chances are she probably had done some stuff that wasn't that great. So seeing Frank Castle try to protect her, while it's a noble mission, trying a little bit like how he was doing with Baby Thanos back in the, you know, Cosmic Ghost Rider miniseries, he was trying to protect them from becoming something worse, becoming almost like him. And I can appreciate that, but it's a little bit of a leap to see him doing this with Cammy, because we don't know what happened between Avengers Arena and now. Maybe Cammy has done some bad things across the galaxy with her new friends. Yes, she's not as bad as them, no doubt about it. But it seemed like a little bit of a stretch, you know? She's not exactly a saint. So that was a little bit of a misstep for me. I didn't really buy into that, which is the whole premise of the series, really. It's not as good as Thanos Wins and the Cosmic Ghost Rider miniseries, but it was definitely better, like I said, than Cosmic Ghost Rider Destroys Marvel History. So overall, like I said, 3.5 flaming skulls out of 5. I really enjoyed it, and you know, with a couple little missteps, I thought overall it was a great story, and I'm looking forward to the next couple issues. So that is my take on The Revenge of the Cosmic Ghost Rider 1 and 2. All right, guys, next up is the Ghost Rider 2099 number one by Ed Brisson and Damian Cusiero. This came out pretty recently. It's not the same series that was reviewed on earlier episodes of Inner Demons, the 1990s Ghost Rider 2099. But it is it's almost kind of like a soft reboot of the character, and we'll talk a little bit about the storyline for this one. Zero Cochrane is a hacker from the year 2099 and is in a digital heist with his team, the Hotwire Martyrs. Zero plugs his consciousness into the security system during the heist to give his friends time to steal power cells. The team finds a cybernetic warbot in the facility, but Zero discovers that a self-destruct sequence was initiated by the evil corporation Demonix. Zero's father, Harrison, is the one who reluctantly gave the order to destroy the truck. The team is then blown to smithereens, and Zero's mind is now stuck in cyberspace. While there, Zero meets the king of the Ghost Works, Johnny Blaze. It is a digital hell, and Blaze gives Zero a chance to get revenge on his father and the Demonix Corporation, while also agreeing to help Ghost Works as their quote-unquote antiviral agent in the real world. Back in Transverse City, the Warbot becomes sentient with Zero's consciousness. Zero brutally murders the security group and steals a hoverbike. He heads to see Kylie, his girlfriend, and tells her the story truthfully. Jeter, a member of the Artificial Kids, shows up with his group and reveals that they have been working with the evil Demonix all along. Zero's body is shut down and Kylie repels the rest of the traitors. Zero wakes up and upgrades his weapons with a new chainsaw. Back at Demonix, Harrison Cochrane is meeting with the Inner Circle, otherwise known as the Collective, no association. But Zero comes in and murders the whole room, including his father. And that is where this issue ends. All right, so I'm going to be not super kind to this one. I was not a fan of this one, but that doesn't mean I hate it all around. So I'm giving it 2 flaming skulls out of 5 for this one. I think it hits some of the main points of the original series. But it's unsatisfying for a few reasons. I think it tries to do too much too soon. It sort of takes storylines from the first 5 or more issues from the original Ghost Rider 2099 series and squishes it into a single story. And honestly, I just think that's too much to work. Remember, this is Transverse City of the year 2099. This is a world that many readers hadn't been accustomed to, you know, with the way they have different slang and their terminology, and everything is class-based, and you have upper tiers of society and the lower scum of society down below. It's not enough time to really establish who the characters are fully and what the world is like, and that's what I highly recommend going back to the earlier 90s series, if possible, for the Ghost Rider 29 full story, because That was a 25-issue series about, and they had more time to really flesh out this world, you know. And so this, unfortunately, I just think it's too much, too soon, and it's disorienting for the reader. At least it was to me. You know, honestly, there's a few moments that I thought was interesting. Seeing Johnny Blaze in this issue was a total surprise, because Johnny Blaze was not involved with the aforementioned 2099 series from the 90s. It was completely devoid of any supernatural elements. It was a technological story set in the future, and Ghost Rider 2099 was essentially like a Terminator, a warbot with a digital entity, a consciousness inside him. So in a very tangible way, he's the opposite of most Ghost Riders, where it's a human host that becomes another being to punish evil. Now you have kind of a warbot that has like a human mind kind of thing, where it can sometimes use holograms to hide its identity and become more human at times. So it flips the Ghost Rider story on its head quite literally. But with this, like I said, I see it as a soft reboot. I appreciate that Ed Brisson's trying to bring it back into the Marvel Universe, this 2099 universe. But it just doesn't work for me on a lot of levels. Going back to what I said about King Blaze, Having Blaze in this one was really interesting because his appearance in this one looked like the 1990s quote unquote cybernetic Johnny Blaze, which we saw in his own miniseries, the Blaze miniseries, and Spirits of Vengeance in the mid to late 90s. So where he kind of had a metal casing on his face and his arms to almost like to heal, to contain a hellfire injury he had. So it was interesting seeing him in that kind of appearance and almost having him sort of behind the ghost work sort of thing. It's like a digital hell. That was an interesting concept, but it like the rest of it didn't work for me. I did like the fact that it brought back the world of 2099 to the forefront, and Brisson actually really nails the language and the tone of the original series. The art is extremely violent, but very, very well done. So kudos to Cusiero. I thought he did a great job with the art. The other things I didn't like about it was the pacing is, for me, it's way off. It moves too fast, can't connect with the characters. The plot is a little convoluted for new readers. Like I said earlier, it tries to tie to the supernatural a little too much with Blaze involved. It's, while that was a nice shout out to the older readers, it was pointless, I think. So it's 5 comics squished into 1, and it's too fast, which is ironic because the motto of Transverse City is supposed to be keep moving or else you're going to get run over kind of thing. And that's what I sort of felt reading this one. I sort of felt it was a little bit too fast for us to really appreciate it. And yes, I guess it was a one shot and we may be seeing a little more Zero Cochrane, and I fully welcome that. I want to see more of this character, but I just hope it's better done than this, because right now I can't root for this character. It sounds horrible. I cannot root for the Zero Cochrane. And if you ever read the 90s series, he was an antisocial character. He was kind of an anarchist. He wasn't a fully lovable character, but honestly, it's seeing him here is even worse than it was in the 90s. He is, he's either getting beat like a punk easily, or he's killing dozens of weaker or unarmed enemies. He rips apart his father with a chainsaw, who has no weapons. He can't defend himself. And it's so fast, moves so fast. I couldn't believe it. I was really stunned, but overall, I did not appreciate that story point. So like I said, I did not hate it, but I definitely didn't like it as much as I was going to. It is getting 2 Flaming Skulls out of 5 from me. All right, guys, tonight's last issue review is going to be from Ghost Rider number 15, December 1975, Vengeance on the Ventura Freeway by Tony Isabella, Bob Brown, and Don Heck. This one features the Orb, and it continues on from issue 14. Under Orb's control, Karen fires her gun, missing Ghost Rider by hitting Katie Milner in the arm. Her stunt cycle skids out of control until he crashes. Seeking the $1 million bounty, Orb abducts Karen and escapes, knocking down Ghost Rider with his laser gun. When Collier berates him, Ghost Rider brushes the director aside and chases Orb. Coup Collier angrily follows along in a car, along with Stuntmaster. Meanwhile, in the records department, Cosgrove discovers Collier has an employee who's never been paid. On the Ventura Freeway, Collier catches up with Ghost Rider as he confronts Orb. Ghost Rider's flame breaks Orb's hypnotic control over Karen. When Karen fights Orb, he dumps her from his cycle, but Ghost Rider saves her and continues the chase. Collier shoots the laser gun from Orb's hand, and Ghost Rider knocks Orb from his cycle. As Ghost Rider pummels the Orb, the danger disappears, and he transforms back into Johnny. At the end, a mysterious friend appears and convinces Johnny to halt the beating. Later at the hospital, Richard and Wendy discover that Katie has become possessed. And that is where the issue ends. So this one here is a pretty famous issue from the 70s. Obviously stars some fan favorite characters, like we said, with the Orb. Overall, I thought it's a decent issue. I didn't love it as much as I thought it was going to. I'm giving it 3.5 Flaming Skulls out of 5, and I'm going to tell you why. I like the fact that there was a lot of action in this issue. The chase throughout was fantastic. And this was back when Johnny Blaze and Ghost Rider was vulnerable. he like needed the costume to cushion the crash, for example, you know? So that is a very interesting time period in the character's history. We're used to him being so invulnerable, but this is back when he really needed all the help he could get. I love the way the skull looks in this one. This was a really, really fantastic illustration for the skull. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Also, I like the fact that Orb being alive in this one was kind of a misdirection. People weren't sure if he was a ghost, like a real ghost, or if he was alive. They weren't really sure what was going on with that. So that was a really cool moment. I gotta say, the security guard scene is pretty great. Their interaction and the way they're talking is really, really funny. Guard Gus Uttermole is very, very funny. I had to write that down. I thought he had a lot of great lines there. The Ventura Freeway itself is drawn very well, and it fits because that's on the title of the book. I thought that was really illustrated well. The Ghost Rider knocking Orb onto the ground in front of a sign that says "Bump Ahead," I thought was pretty amusing. So, I mean, overall, Isabella did a pretty good job with this one, but I know some other fans really, really love this one, and for some reason, it's not fully connecting with me. And some of the reasons why are I don't like the way that the bike is drawn. I think it's still a little too wide to be believable, which sounds funny for a Ghost Rider issue, believability, but, you know, it's just, it almost is too much of a suspension of disbelief on that. So, also, I think at the end, the mysterious stranger, it just seems out of place here. I know what Isabella was trying to do, which unfortunately gets kind of reversed several issues down the line with editorial, but I know what he was trying to do, but the way it was handled was just a little bit awkward here. So I wasn't really feeling that. And just overall, just the, you know, the Katie Milner and Karen Page storyline, it has its moments, like this one, for some reason, just didn't fully connect with me. It was a great action issue, but overall, I didn't love this one, which I know, like I said, some of my friends really, really enjoy this one. They give it an A rating, you know, or a 5-star rating. I think it's kind of middle of the road, a little better than middle of the road, you know, to be fair. And maybe I'm being a little too harsh on it, but that's my overall view on Ghost Rider number 15 from 1975. That brings us to the end of tonight's episode, but before we go, I would like to mention a few things. I want to read some comments about some of the issues we just talked about tonight and see what you guys thought about it. I already talked about my feelings towards them, but some issues that I might have liked, you guys might have disliked, and vice versa. So let's read some comments from the hashtag PostWritersGR hashtag from Twitter. So once again, like I said earlier in the episode, if you'd like to send your questions or comments to the show or your own short reviews of what we're going to be covering, please send it along to hashtag PostWritersGR, and we'll make sure we read that at the end of the episode just to kind of get a nice dialogue going with you guys. That's how we're kind of trying to move forward a little bit with kind of, you know, some solo episodes. You know, I know it's a little different without a co-host regularly. But with that being said, next episode, we're going to have our 50th episode special. It's going to be the long-awaited review of Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, the film. I'm going to have a very special guest with me in studio. One of my friends is going to be in studio recording the commentary. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be fantastic. Get out your Blu-rays, get out your DVDs, and get ready to hit play Mystery Science Theater 3000 style when we do as well. So it's going to be really, really great. So let's get into the Postwriters GR for some of the reviews for tonight's episode. The first one is from our good friend Ray over at Into the Night, the Moon Knight podcast, as well as The Last Sons of Krypton. We love Ray. He's fantastic. He's an amazing dude, and he's so involved with the collective community of podcasts. So definitely check out his stuff if you haven't, and definitely the Moon Knight podcast. He's our vengeance bro. Definitely check out his stuff. We love it. But he sent along his review from Ghost Rider 2099, number one by Ed Brisson. This is what Ray had to say. Just read Ghost Rider 2099. Didn't know what to expect, but Brisson had a good handle of fleshing out the futuristic world. Some paper thin parts of the plot, though, most notably when Zero's dad apparently came up with a plan to use an AI droid to deal with the downrampers. Doesn't sound like an entirely original plan. It's something I'd imagine Demonics could easily have come up with themselves. Enjoy the new Ghost Rider, though, and how he's integrated with technology like Blaze's Domain, Hell and the Ghost Works, and so on. Usually not a fan of Cusiero's art, but here, it's pretty decent. Finally, love the riff on Ghost Rider's chain. That being a chainsaw. Really, really great. Gave me visions of Ash from the Evil Dead. Love it. Hashtag BoastRidersGR. Thank you so much, Ray. We really appreciate that. And the other big issue that we got a lot of feedback for is the Lilith one-shot. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. So let's read some of you guys' comments on Mother of Demons, the Spirits of Ghost Rider one-shot. Mayor Don Johnston, one of our listeners, says, Ed Brisson threw on Hellgate and Deacon. Talk about some deep dives. Cannot wait to speak Ed at C2E2 this year in a few weeks. I never trusted a Mother of Demons. Comic Book Hangover says, it was okay as a filler issue of Ghost Rider, but didn't really need its own one-shot. It really had nothing to do with Lilith. While giving a reason for her less than interesting current look, the explanation didn't really gel with what we know about her. Her original look is much more intimidating. That said, it had an amazing variant cover, and seeing the Spirit of Corruption in action was nice. I especially like how the guard of his sword matches the shield part of Ghost Rider's bike from the 90s. The headlights are easy to see. Excellent point. Absolutely. That was really, really a good observation, and I've been pointing that out to everybody at the store, and they've been loving that. So he says, more positive than negative in my book. I'm just hopeful that there is a long-term game plan for the series. This one-shot, I didn't dislike it. I just don't think it deserved a $5 one-shot, which is totally fair. Very understandable. Marvel annoys us when they do that kind of thing. So, one of our longtime fans, SOV Collector, one of the number one Ghost Rider fans I've ever talked to, says, Ed Brisson blows me away with every new issue. The explanation of the new costume made me feel 100% better. The expanded mythos on Lilith made her even more interesting. The added subplot to this current story just made me fall deeper in love with the series. It's so nice to have such deep respect for the story. Another one of our inside men, Justzilla, who always has passed me off some excellent Ghost Rider insight and secret news, he says, this issue was a great origin of Lilith as a nice showing of her plans and seeing Danny's new powers and Johnny as King of Hell. I'm glad this also explains Lilith's new look, plus some nice villain cameos. I hope we get more villain one-shots like this in the future. Totally agree. Wandering Artist, another one of our longtime listeners, says, I was expecting a full dive into Lilith's character, past and present, and some deeper explorations into her character itself. The scope of Johnny's character being more cruel and corrupted. His dialogue about being left and forgotten really does set up the forthcoming Blaze versus Strange issue in the pages of Ghost Rider. And seeing the writer dig up Jack-O-Lantern and the Deacon was such a great surprise. Danny using his new powers was great to see as always, and love seeing Roland Bosky tackle Ghost Rider. I can see that the story is being pushed forward, setting up some characters and featuring some surprises. However, my beef with this is that I was expecting a full-on issue focusing on just Lilith, her powers and her plans. On the plus side, it's good to see the darker side of Blaze and Ketch's current dilemma. Both could be factors that directly contrast with Lilith and her ambitions in some way. So overall, I dig this issue. The story is pushing forward strongly, and I'm anxious to see the big showdown between Ketch, Blaze, and all the other players. Absolutely, we totally agree. Seek the Legend, 100% Seek the Legend. Great guy. He runs the Venom vlog. He's got a great YouTube channel. Awesome dude. Huge Ghost Rider fan, especially of Danny Ketch in the 90s. He says this one is very fun. I almost missed this one at the store, though. Glad I didn't. It seems to be perfectly set between issues 4 and 5. Which I'm not sure I like, but it was still a good issue. And we totally agree, Seek, because I really feel that some people could miss out on this one. It's very much continues on the story from 4 to the next one. So, you know, you're not going to be totally lost with it, but it enriches the backstory and the lore so much more, especially if Lilith's going to be a big player. We want to see what the hell's going on with that. So we totally agree, man. Also, good luck with your forthcoming move to the East Coast. Good luck, pal. We're rooting for you, okay, bud? One of our listeners, Walmart, says, well, my local comic shop won't even get this issue until Wednesday. So I've heard that too. Some stores weren't getting it in time. So hopefully you got that issue and we were able to check it out. Last but not least, Christopher Franny says he loved it and enjoyed seeing more of Johnny's descent into darkness. We absolutely agree. Thank you guys for sending in all the comments. Once again, if you'd like to send in your comments and concerns or questions, send it to hashtag postwritersgr on the Twitter, and we will definitely check that. We are on Twitter, like I said, at innerdemonsgr. That is one of the best places to reach us at this point. Where I'm always interacting with the fans, so that's one of the best places we can chat about things. So keep that going. We also have Facebook, and we have the blog, which is vengeanceunbound.blogspot.com. Though a lot of the updates have kind of slowed a little bit, you know, I'm still going to try to keep that up in perpetuity. It's been up for about 20 years, and we have 600 reviews that have been added on there from Chris over the years. So definitely check that out. It's one of the best places to follow Ghost Rider's long and convoluted mythology. Definitely check it out. And, you know, otherwise, I wanted to thank you guys for listening to the episode. This is the second solo one that I've done. So thank you for your patience, and we hope you enjoyed it. Have a great night, and we will see you next time. Right on, guys.